Let's pray with Devin as he leads us in this time. Looking sharp. You're welcome. Father God, we thank you for this time that we've been able to share together as a body. And I thank you for Devin. I thank you that he just loves you. I thank you that he just wants to follow you. And Lord Jesus, at this time I ask, Holy Spirit, that you just speak through him, that he just knows that he is speaking with authority. And that, Father, we thank you for that authority that you've given us in your name. And Jesus, just open our hearts and ears just to hear your word at this time, to allow us all to grow in your name. So, Father, we thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. As you know, you often get to hear me play bass, which I'm sure you absolutely love, right? Yeah, I thought so. No, I appreciate that. Pastor Johnny and Jen asked me a while ago if I would be willing to speak. This was probably, I don't know, like a year ago. I was like, yeah, sure. And then a year later, finally he asked me again. He's like, so are you going to speak? Finally, I felt God prompting my heart, and here I am. So if you have your Bibles with you or your phones or whatever you have for the Bible, I would encourage you to open to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. While you do that, I'm going to turn on my handy-dandy notes here. So I will read that. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's it. Just two simple verses, right? I actually absolutely love these verses. These are two of the most popular verses, at least in my mind, that we have in the Christian faith. I mean, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are pivotal there. They're so important to our faith. I bet you before I even started reading them, a lot of you guys already knew what it said. And that's a wonderful thing. I mean, this is the verse I've seen people, they write it on their doorpost as you leave the house. And I've seen it tattooed on people's ankles and all kinds of ways that we like to show that this is something we believe in. And rightfully so. I mean, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. I mean, that's it. That's the bread and butter of how to live a Christian faith under God. And I absolutely love this verse for that reason. So this week and last week as I was kind of figuring out what I was going to say and how I was going to say it, I started to think of trust. I mean, this is a lot about trust and what I believe requires trust, what it takes to trust more specifically in someone. And from there, I was kind of led to knowing someone. I mean, in my mind, if I'm going to trust somebody, I generally want to know them. Here's an example. Let's say, for the example's sake, you and your spouse want to go out on a date. And you got two little kids, and you want them to be watched for the night. You want somebody to come babysit them. But just for example's sake, nobody from the church or friends or anybody you already know can come and watch your kids. You actually have to hire somebody from the outside. Now, I don't have kids, but I've been a kid, and I've heard this from my parents before, and I kind of understand. So an easy thing you can do is you can actually go onto, there's a bunch of websites, but there's one called findbabysitter.com or findmybabysitter.com. And on there, you'll find a list of babysitters that are within your city, within your area. And this, you know, probably 14 to 18-year-old person will have a list of criteria and credentials even on why they should be able to watch your kid. They'll have a little bio on themselves. They'll have a couple of references from some others that they've watched before. And so you're going to read through those things. You might call those references. And then you're probably going to want to meet this person. I mean, after all, you are giving this person time with your kids at your house with your keys, and then you're going to pay them for it, generally, I'm sure, right? So, you know, when I was thinking about that little example, you know, the reason I thought of that is because I wouldn't just go out onto the street and just ask any random person, hey, come on into my house, you 50-year-old random man, and watch my kids, and you know, I'll give you the keys to my house and pay you. No, you want to know them, to some degree, of course. Well, the same goes with trusting in God. If we're going to trust in God, we actually need to get to know this God. So there, in my mind, everything, just so you know, through this sermon, everything is under my understanding and from my life experience. So bear with me, if you will. There are two ways, in my mind, to really learning how to trust God and get to know him. The first and extremely important is prayer. Prayer is the gateway from us to God. It is the gift where we are able to be talking with him in communication, where we can actually come to God and say, these are the things I'm concerned about. This is my life. Will you be a part of it? And the second way, the one that I kind of want to focus on, is through Scripture. Scripture is unmeasurably important to the Christian faith. We would have nothing like we do today if we didn't have the Scripture. I love Scripture because it is a gathering of God's inspired word through different people of all kinds of cultures and generations and walks of life. There's young and old, men and women. There's people that have lived in captivity and freedom, you name it. The Bible is full of people, just like you and me and others around the world. And that's why I love it. When I went to Vanguard Bible College, I took 1 year there. And there I took a class called Hermeneutics and Exegesis, I believe is how you say them. And in this class, they taught us why and how Scripture is, Scripture is the same as it was when it was written. So through this class, they taught us how we know that our interpretation of Scripture is the exact same as when it was written. And that blew my mind when I heard that. I mean, thousands of years of Scripture written and then eventually put together and somehow gets to the place where we have a Bible here is amazing. And through this class, we were taught that it was through the intercession of the Holy Spirit that these words were written. So as Jesus is the embodiment of God, it is what we see as God in human flesh. Scripture is God's words breathed into his people for us into today. Scripture is, we talk about it a lot, and we say that you should read the Bible a lot, and we encourage that a lot, but it's often something that we actually forget, and it's so important. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This isn't just a random bunch of people who said, hey, I feel like writing something. It was God inspiring his people so that generations and generations and generations to come could have his word, could have what God himself has said. And that's why I think that Scripture is one of the best ways that we can get to know God. So that being said, there is some dangers that I think I got to be careful where I'm going here. There are some dangers that our church in the Western world has really fallen into. Some misconceptions even, if you want, about Scripture. If Scripture is God-breathed, if Scripture is inspired, if it is actually an embodiment of God, then I think that it needs to be taken very seriously from beginning to end. We have this way of saying, well, I don't like the way that that sounds. It doesn't really fit how I want to live my life, so I'm just not going to believe it. Or I'll believe this part of Scripture, but I won't believe this part of Scripture. This is a dangerous place that we often get in the North American world because we don't believe in things that don't make us happy and comfortable. And this is the first part of the misconception that I want to talk about, is that if it doesn't make me happy, if it doesn't make me comfortable, if it doesn't match my lifestyle, I don't know, like, God, you know, God loves me, right? So God doesn't want me to go through suffering. God doesn't want me to go through persecution. He loves me. He wants me to be comfortable. Now, I know I make that sound kind of silly, but in reality, that is something that I personally fall for daily sometimes. where I know what the scripture says and I know what God says, but because I don't like it, I'm just not going to follow it, or I'll make some sort of excuse. The second part to this misconception is that Jesus and God's sole purpose is for us to, well, how do I want to say this? It's like God has a star system. Like in elementary school, when you do good, you get a star on the board, right? It's like as if God has something for that. And that's what we believe often. If I tithe a little more than 10%, God says, good job, there's a gold star. If I pray a little extra, or I remember to pray for someone else, God gives us a gold star. Read the scripture today, 10 minutes longer than I did yesterday, God gives us a gold star. And these gold stars accumulate into almost like rewards that God gives us. Now keep in mind, this is a misconception. We believe often, and this is coming from my own experience, that because I've done this amount of good things, God will reward me. I won't have any struggles with my family. I won't have any fights with them. That when we grow up, and if you have kids, your kids will grow up to be beautiful, shining examples of Christ because you've done enough. That you'll never have struggles financially. And if you do, it's just a quick test. That you'll never have issues at your job. That the church will grow and thrive and be beautiful. And then there's a second part to this even. When those things don't happen, often as a church, as a culture, we believe, well, God must be mad. God must be punishing us because I'm having a fight with my spouse, because my kids ran off and they're doing things that I don't think are right. I would encourage you to read into Scripture to see the truth, because God did not come simply for us to be happy and comfortable. Now, I do believe God wants us to be happy. In fact, it says in the scripture that God rejoices with us, that he loves to see us in that state of joy in him. But there's another part of scripture that kind of gets us confused in today's age. Acts 5:41 says, so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Hey, there, that's good, right? Rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wait a second. Suffer shame? For somebody else? That's odd, right? We don't like that. I don't like that. Well, what about 1 Peter 3:14? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. What? Blessed? No. God, wait. Back up a second, God. I'm blessed when, you know, I have a perfect date with my girlfriend. That's when I'm blessed. I'm blessed when I've got, you know, an extra couple $100 in my bank account. That's blessing, God. That's what I want. Suffering for your name? No. Persecution for you? That doesn't really make me happy, God. I'm going to reject that, and I'm just going to keep doing what I want to do over here. This is a dangerous place to be, and this is a dangerous misconception that I believe, and I believe our church as a culture in the Western world often believes. But when we look at Scripture, we see that it is clear. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. There's a few words in there that I really want us to focus on. Trust in the Lord with all. There's the first word, all of your heart. Trusting in God is a really difficult thing to do. We're taught and grown to believe that we can do it. I can go get that job. I can go to school. I can support my family. I can be happy. I can do these things. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. This means giving him those things that you don't believe God can handle, that you don't understand God can handle. This means giving him those things. Lean not on your own understanding. Was that an ego hit to me this week? I'll tell you guys about that later on. And in all of your ways, acknowledge him. I love this part. In everything you do, praise God. I struggle with this so much. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Praise him. praise him. Do we praise God when a family member is sick? Do we praise God when we're going through financial difficulties? Do we praise God right after your spouse and you had this big fight that you can't seem to see over? Do you praise God after that? Praising God, to me, hasn't been a choice in my life. It's been something that God has almost taught me to do. In everything I do, I step back and I listen for the Lord to say, this is where I'm working and this is what I want you to do. We can praise him because he wants to be a part of our lives. I don't want this to sound like doom and gloom. I really don't. And this is where Jeremiah 29:11 comes in. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Whoa! God wants to give me hope and a future? He has a plan? This isn't God saying it to one single person. This is God saying it to all of his people. I have a plan for you, for your family, for your sick relative, for yourself if you're sick, for the fact that you just lost a job. I have a plan. We can trust him in this. But we need to learn who this God is before we can actually trust him. And that requires investing in Scripture. That requires actually getting to know him, praying to him, giving up these things that we don't believe he can handle. When we give those things to him, he takes them from us, and he flourishes our lives. I want to share with you guys, I don't want to take up too much time, but I want to share with you guys a life experience that's happened to me recently. As a lot of you know, I'm a plumber. I was saying to Catherine, I think it was last week, that if I was a little kid and I knew that when I grew up, I'd get to work with my hands and build things and tear things apart for the rest of my life, I would have been super excited. That's even just a reminder to me today that I love my job. So where I'm working right now, I'm working at Nate, and we're building this beautiful facility that they have. It's these big classrooms and then this massive warehouse. And in this warehouse shop class area, I have had a team that we've been working in there. About 5 or 6 months ago, my journeyman and I, I was a second year plumber at the time. I had about 2 or 3 years experience. My journeyman and I were charged with building this huge piping system all along the roof, 30 feet up in the air. This piping system was to feed hot water to a whole bunch of furnaces that would eventually turn that into hot air. Just as a quick example of what I've been doing. So we started, and about 2 weeks in, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's a long story, but to shorten it, my journeyman breaks his ankle, and he's out of the game. And he has to go to reconstructive surgery and whatnot, and he's still going through that. My boss came up to me after that and said, Devin, I have no other journeyman to give you. I can't give you any help. You have to do this. My first thought was, yes, he sees how good of a plumber I am already, and I've only worked for him for a couple months. He must see something in me. So I was super excited. This was my shot. So I worked away, and for the next 3 months, I built this piping system, and I was proud. Trust me, it looked good, and I still think it looks good. The day came when it came to test the system. And we test the system by pumping it up with air. We want to pump it with air before water, because if you pump it up with water and there's a leak, a bunch of really nice stuff gets ruined, and don't want to do that. So we fill it with air. Now, as a tiny bit of backstory, I didn't feel, because my boss asked me to do this, I didn't feel like I needed anyone's help. In fact, I knew in my heart and in my head, I don't need anyone else's help. I can do this. For the next month and a half, me and three other journeymen, so people who get paid a lot of money, fixed over 100 leaks in that system. That cost my company a month and a half, almost 2 months of time, and many thousands of dollars in parts and labor. I was waiting for my boss to come up to me on the testing day and shake my hand and say, good job, I'm proud of you. He was so mad and disappointed in me. Boy, was that a hit to my ego. That's what I was talking about earlier. That just shot me down. I realized at that point that I couldn't do it. Though I have been working with my hands my whole life, I could not do it. I put all of my effort into it, and with my pride, I didn't ask for help. I just did it on my own, and I failed so miserably. I see it as such a blessing that I didn't lose my job, because it was in the talks with the upper parts of the company that I should be let go for that. I praise the Lord that I wasn't. So this week and last week have been extremely stressful for me. First of all, it was time to fill the system with water after fixing all the leaks. And we are so much further along now that there is carpet and there everything drywalled and painted. So if we have a leak now, that's it for me, if that's the case. So going into this week, I was so humbled by the Lord. He humbled me in such a deep way where he pulled me back and said, Devin, do you remember last time? So I asked for help. I asked other journeymen and other people with more experience and even my boss if they would help me with certain parts of the system, if they would show me what to do and how to do it. Well, we pumped it up with water, and there were maybe two or three little tiny leaks. Whew. Oh my word, was I excited. I was so happy, but I was so humbled, because it wasn't until I had help, until I humbled myself, that the success came through. Not to mention, this week, I think the Lord was testing me a little bit. I got sick. On Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I completely lost my voice. Thinking that I got to preach on Sunday, it was like, oh my goodness, do I call Johnny and tell him to have a backup sermon, and then do I back out of this, and then for another year I'll wait, and then maybe I'll preach? I don't know. I was kind of thinking it. But the Lord challenged me. The Lord challenged me to continue on, to trust in him, to wait on him, to let go of my pride and my fear that I might not have a voice. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, every part of your life, every part of it. Lean not on your own understanding. God knows. If you read the scripture, you will find that God knows. You might think your situation is odd or different or something God might not understand. Trust me, if you read the scripture and you challenge yourself, God knows. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Praise him. I praised him that he gave me the humility in my heart to ask for help. I praised him that I didn't lose my job, though the situation was grim. We have to learn to praise God in all that we do. And here's the part. Here's the part of trust and knowing him. He shall direct your path. I love it. This is somebody, a human, who wrote this, inspired by God, humbling themselves for generations to come, knowing that God is the one who directs our path. He shall direct our path. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. My encouragement to you guys this week and my challenge to you would be that you seek this God that you say you trust. Seek this God that I say I trust. Open the word. Go on Google. It's as easy as that. Type in your concern and how it applies to Scripture if that's what you want. But look into Scripture. And I promise you, your concerns, your problems, your issues, your desires, God knows them. And he desires to work with you through those things. I'll ask the worship team to come back up. I'm going to pray to close the service. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for, again, I thank you for the snow. I'm grateful for it. I just pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us this week to open the scripture, to take the time to get to know you, to take the time to get to trust you, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would help us to learn to let go of the things in our life that we don't think you can control. I pray that you would encourage us and teach us to give up everything for you and to praise you, even when times are tough, not just when they're good, but when times are tough, to praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this this wonderful opportunity that I could come and speak. And I just pray, Lord, that you would protect us as we go from this place and continue to challenge our hearts this week. Amen.